Coming up, I'm going to tell you why you should launch your startup in 2023. And then a former Wall Street big shot trader joins me to share his story on why he left big finance to do what he really loved. Let's go. Welcome to the Ken Colbert Show, where we help you win at work and in life. In other words, more money, more meaning. You're winning at work, you're going to be winning at home, and we think that's a good thing. Welcome aboard. So, all right, here we are. It's hard to believe we are on the precipice of another year. I'll avoid all the old man, where did the time go? Time is moving on. But here we go. And people start to think about their future. As one year ends and we begin to make the turn into the next year, we begin to take self-assessment inventory of where we are, where we want to be, what do we have to do to get where we want to be. And I want to talk about starting something up, starting a business. So many people want to work for themselves. We've shared that data here on the show. It's overwhelming. Over 70% of Americans want to work for themselves. But then you look at the sheer numbers of solopreneurs, people who start something on their own, the numbers are way, way less. And there's obviously a lot of fear of the unknown there, a lot of fear of failure, a lot of life challenges, and can I do it all? I mean, it really does hold people back. But I want to challenge some of you that you're probably more ready than you think you are. In fact, we're never ready, so let's just go ahead and say that. But I think that the things that we hold up as hurdles to starting a business, I don't think that they're the hurdles we think they are. In fact, I'm going to tell you that I believe that 2023 is the best time to start a business. It's never been better. So let's look at it. You've been hesitating, and I want you to start contemplating. Contemplating the following information. So why launch your business now? Well, number one, the cost. The cost is lower than ever to start. I mean, like, really low. I think 50 years ago, you start talking about a business, the way businesses ran, the way businesses operated, you know, how you get into business. I think it's a much bigger discussion. The money was bigger. But now, it's easier. In other words, it's cheaper than ever. Let's look at this. According to the U.S. Small Business Administration, most micro businesses, that's 10 employees or less, cost about $3,000 to start. All right, now let's just take that number, $3,000. Even for some of you right now that are going, I don't have $3,000 in my bank account, Ken. You could. Side hustles as it relates to hourly work are more relevant, more rampant than ever before. People do it all the time. There's no shame in it. You're out there hustling. What are you doing? Well, I'm delivering pizzas. Why are you delivering pizzas? Saving up money to start a side hustle. There's honor in that. Delivering pizzas to pay off debt. At Ramsey Solutions, we talk about that all the time. So the hourly wages, the part-time jobs, to be able to make $3,000, or what if you had $1,000 in your house you could sell? Boom, you're a third of the way there, and you didn't do any work at all. So $3,000 is a barrier, but that's a low barrier, very achievable. All right, I said it's easier than ever, and I talked about it's cheaper than ever. It's easier than ever as it relates to opportunity. The internet and the normalization of remote work mean that you don't have to sit in a brick and mortar place to actually sell something to somebody. People, their habits, everything's online. Buying something online now, it's not even remotely weird. I mean, if you just think about it right now, you look at Carvana and companies like that, like 10 years ago, that would have been insane. I'm sorry, you buy a car online and you go put a token in the slot and it lowers the car and it unlocks it and you get your key and you drive off. You'd have told me I was crazy if I told you that 10 years ago. So online, it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. People are buying all the time online. The opportunity is everywhere. You can get to anybody anywhere in the world. So the opportunity to sell something, a product or service, is easier than ever. It's easier than ever because of automation. You don't have to have a staff of 30 to run a company. Not a full-time employees. You don't have to do that. You think about apps, automated services that you're going to pay a fraction for instead of a full-time employee. You're paying a fraction of a full-time employee cost to be able to deliver services. But you think about a home builder, the contractor. Well, that contractor hires the plumber, hires the electrician, hires the drywall people, hires the painters. They have what's called subcontractors, and that housing company or the contractor that you hired to build your home, they don't have full-time employees to the tune of everybody that touches that house. They have subcontractors. And just as a home builder has subcontractors, you in your small business, side hustle, just you, through apps, professional services, automated services, all the things we're talking about here, through automation, you can cull together the manpower, the technology necessary to be able to deliver on a product or service. So, quick review. Why launch your business now? It's easier than ever. Specifically, the cost is lower. The opportunity is everywhere. And the automation has made it so much easier than it used to be. Number two, you can start small and grow slow. In 2023, you can say, I'm starting. I'm not setting the world on fire. I'm not going to leave my day job. I'm not going to be able to provide for everybody through this job, but I am going to start it. Super small. And I'm not going to put pressure on myself to blow it up in 2023. I'm going to start it and do my best to grow it slowly. Start small, grow slow. That you can do in 2023. I promise you can. The idea that, hey, I've got to start something, leave my day job, provide, have all the margin, that is a recipe for stress and can set you up for failure. The converse is, hey, you know what? I'm going to start this thing on the side. I'm going to test it. See if I can learn a few things. If I can just basically cover my costs for launch in 2023 and kind of just see some things, dip my toe in the water, if you will. We're not jumping in. We're just going to see what the water feels like. And we'll wade in. We're not jumping in. That only works, by the way, at the beach. If you wade in slowly and those waves keep crashing a little higher up on your body, it just increases the pain. All right? That's only at the beach where you just rah, jump in, right, and get it over with. We don't do that when we're launching a business. Third reason why you should launch your business in 2023. Why not? Why not? Three reasons why you should. The third one is just pretty straightforward. Why not? What are you waiting on? The longer you wait, the greater the chances that you never launch it. And then you regret it. As opposed to, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to try it. And then if I decide long term I'm not going to do it, nothing ventured, nothing gained, nobody hurt, no regrets. Don't let your mindset be the thing that holds you back from starting that business in 2023. You can do this and you should. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to be with you. Many times on this show, I will tell you about people that I know that have left high-paying jobs, were crushing it, very good at the job, but something was missing. And I'll mention it sometimes, and sometimes I'll say, like a Wall Street trader. And I think sometimes people think that I just pull that out of the air. Well, today I've got a special treat for you. Because I got a new friend by the name of Craig Siegel, who's a stud and was crushing it. I mean, the quintessential New York hustler, and I say that in a good way, not a bad way. You're going to love Craig. And Craig is the guy who was, in fact, crushing it on Wall Street. talented, very good at what he did. But something was missing, and then a lot was missing. And he has to come to a moment where he goes, what am I going to do? I mean, very successful, all the trappings. And something was missing. And he walked away from it because it wasn't about money. It was about meaning. And so I want to bring to you a bit of my conversation. I sat with him recently here in studio. We recorded it. We're going to give you a piece of it right now. Here I am with Craig Siegel. I like when people hear the not so awesome stuff behind what it takes to be a go-getter. And specifically, I want people to hear about your transition. You were on Wall Street and doing pretty well. I want you to paint the picture. This is kind of pre-pandemic and take us into the pandemic of your Wall Street career. So paint the picture.
Yeah. So when you say doing, first of all, I'm glad to be here. Love you so much. And we're going to get nuts right now. In regards to doing well, it's all relative, right? Like, it's true. I was making some money on Wall Street. But as I learned through life experience, making money doesn't necessarily equal success. If you ask me now at this season of my life, how happy you are, how big of an impact you make is the key to success, right? So let's rewind a little bit. A couple of years back, I was on Wall Street. I was doing the stock thing for a while, lucrative, and it was a lot of fun until it wasn't. With the stock market, stuff like that, as you can imagine, there's a ton of stress, unpredictability, things outside your control. And so I pivoted from that and I started my own business in finance. I basically provided working capital to businesses all across the country. Lucrative, less stressful, but not exactly setting my soul on fire. And I had gotten into a bit of a dark place a couple of years back. I just got out of a toxic relationship. My dad, my best friend in the world, had gotten diagnosed with cancer. And I was the type of cat that was waking up on Monday. And it pains me to say this. I was actually looking forward to the weekend, right? And I know the audience, the listeners, anyone making a transition could probably relate to that in some capacity at some point in their life. I just didn't like the reflection I was seeing in the mirror. I knew I was here for more. And spoiler alert, we're all here for more. We all have gifts. We have to identify them and try to find our assignment, right? And so I always felt called. I just didn't know what it was. I gravitated towards running a couple of years back and started running a bunch of marathons, which was great. Just ran the Chicago one last week. But I wasn't looking to become a professional runner. I was looking for an outlet, an arena to be a gladiator. Fast forward the pandemic, lockdown, bang. The world shuts down. More specifically, I shut down my office. I looked around, I saw a lot of Netflix, a lot of day drink. I said, that's not going to be me. I don't know when I'm going to have this opportunity again. I know I'm meant for more. I know there's more out there for me. And I got really deep and I gave myself the old eulogy exercise. What that is basically picture yourself a couple of weeks down the line, done, dead. People are arriving at your funeral. What do they say about you? Sure, I made some nice relationships, had a little bit of fun, but did I really contribute? Did I leave a legacy? Did I make an impact? The answer was no. I had to be really honest and aware. And so I said, okay, well, what do I love? That was easy. Personal development. I'm obsessed with this stuff. Use it to build businesses, removing limiting beliefs, all that stuff. And then I said, well, what am I good at? And this one, I said, you know what? If I'm being 100% humble and honest, I could communicate pretty effectively. People would always come to me for a little inspirational speech. And so I said, maybe we're onto something. I married those two concepts. I said, I don't want to be the next Tony Robbins. I want to be the first Craig Siegel. I don't know if this thing's 100% going to work, but I'm going to think big. But the most painful thing that I could do in the world right now, now that I have a little bit of clarity, is to not take that shot and go back and make the choice of being miserable. So I took the shot. Everything started to align and the brand has exploded in the last 2 years.
That's awesome. All right. So that's a good overview. Let's go back. Okay. Yes. So you go from Wall Street to your own finance firm. And then the pandemic hits and boom, you just kind of laid out for us the decision you made. Now, and I don't know what your exact thought process was, but I'm curious. Did at some point, once you had the clarity that, hey, I want to go do something completely different, something that I've never done before, did you have some fear? Did you have some doubt? And if you did, what did it look like and sound like?
Had a little bit of imposter syndrome for a moment. And I think the biggest reason, well, two reasons why. Number one is I knew when I was going to start CLS, Cultivate Lasting Symphony, or a plan of my initials, Craig Linden Siegel, that this was an arena I never tapped into, the online business space, putting myself out there. And this might surprise you, Ken, but I'm a bit of an introvert. Right. At the time, I had 300 Instagram followers. I wasn't really out there. Yes, it was scary. There's no guarantee it was going to work. But what I made even scarier was to go back and choose to be miserable. I actually associated that with death. I made it very real for myself. That was no longer an option. So stepping forward and taking uncomfortable action, even though uncomfortable, I know based upon life experience, and I bet you'd agree with this too, most of the real epic growth in your life comes on the backside of uncomfortable action.
That's exactly right. So what was the most uncomfortable thing for you as you started to put yourself out there? I want to get nitty gritty here. Give me something super specific.
Look, I believe that if you're not embarrassed of where you were a year ago, you're not growing.
Yeah. Right?
So if you go to my social media accounts, and look, when we first started about 2 years ago, you'll see some of the content when I first showed up for the first time for the world, sure, telling everybody who I am, what I'm going to start doing. I think just putting myself out there, right? And now we're speaking on stages all across the country, some of the biggest motivation speakers in the world. You know, this wasn't super natural to me. It's a skill set that I had to embrace and get better at. But I think to answer your question in a nutshell, just showing up, right? Like it being an influencer and putting yourself out there. And look, people are going to have their opinions. I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I'm right. Certainly not everyone's glass of whiskey, but that's okay.
Yes.
I made a promise to myself that it would be 100% true, authentic, real, and raw. And I understood that it wouldn't be for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? The right people will gravitate to me and the right people will gravitate away. So the most uncomfortable thing was showing up like that, I suppose, on social media and on big stages.
How would you compare your journey and just showing up to running? If you're going to go from couch to marathon, that doesn't happen overnight. And yet somehow we get sucked into thinking, I'm going to launch this idea and everybody's going to love it because I'm amazing. And when it doesn't go boom, we get discouraged. And so how would you tie anybody's journey, but certainly yours, into getting started, showing up to essentially training to become a runner?
Yeah, I love this question, Ken. And I think these life lessons that we're discussing right here, you mentioned running, we're talking business, I think they're applicable and universal for all areas, right? So I like to focus on what can go right, as opposed to, I think most people focus on what can go wrong.
Yeah.
And when you start putting yourself in that frequency and you're available for those negative thoughts, most people stop before they even begin because they're already talking to themselves as, what if this? What if they laugh at me? What if I mess up? I choose to no longer be available for those types of negative thoughts, and I'm only available, how could this go right? Can I physically put one foot in front of the other? Yes, I can. Can I work on being able to run further so I can get to the 26.2 mile distance? Yes, I can. Right? So I just like to focus on that and what I can do to level up and show up as the best version of me. And I purposely minimize any of those outside negative.
He is Craig Siegel. He's got a wonderful, wonderful show that I've been able to be a part of. The Craig Siegel, his story is what I wanted you to hear. This is a guy that represents millions and millions of people who didn't like the way they looked in the mirror, but they don't do anything about it. And that's why I love his story. More coming up. Oh, my clock. I apologize. This is where I get to the clock and I looked at the wrong segment. I got it. I get it. Yeah, I know. I know, guys. Hey, I looked at the wrong sheet. So anyway, the reason I share that story with you, and we got more coming up later in the program, but the reason I share that is because millions of people don't do what he did. He did it, and it's worth it. It's not about money. It's about meaning. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Now, earlier in the program, I played a portion of my long-form interview with Craig Siegel, a friend of mine out of New York, and I was so excited to play it because this dude, man, he's a go-getter, and yet, as he said in the first portion of our interview, he didn't like the way he looked in the mirror, and he wasn't talking about his physical performance in the mirror and what he looked like. He was saying, I didn't like who I was, and yet he was killing it on Wall Street, and so he left, and he has done some incredible things now, helping a lot of people in their personal growth, speaking and doing things. He's got a great podcast. the CLS experience. I've been a guest on it. It's great. I love Craig. Just such a positive guy. All he ever does is just affirm you, make you feel, you know, like you're great. And he's a positive guy. And I love getting to talk to him. Now, in this clip, we talk about the challenges of starting something new and waiting versus getting after it. And then we talk a little bit about burnout. And I love having these conversations with professional friends who have their own unique experience. So this is good stuff. Let's get back to it. This is more of my conversation with Craig Siegel. How did you handle failure and mishaps and things that maybe that didn't go the way you wanted it to go? Give us something there.
So you have to understand this, first and foremost. Failure is a part of life, right? As long as you take valuable lessons from it, it's the best way to grow. It's experience. And let me just be clear. I just got back from the Chicago Marathon a week ago. Yeah. Although I hit a PR, which in the running world is a personal best, I didn't do as well as I would have liked to. I know I could be better, right? And so I have a little bit of disappointment. And so I'm going to keep fighting because I want to get to a certain time. But in regards to failure, like, if you're going to try something new that you're not necessarily experienced at, for anyone out there that wants to start a new business or a side hustle, put yourself out there for a relationship, there's going to be some bumps and bruises, but that's not a negative thing. That's positive because that's how we learn, grow, adapt, and adjust. And if you have that thought process, everything that doesn't work just brings you closer to what will work.
How do you test new ideas in your online business? What is your, do you have a formula? Or are there a couple of things you would recommend to our audience if they're going to try something new in an online business? How do you test it? And how do you know when, this is going to work exactly the way we thought, or I need to tweak it?
Feedback and data, right? So like, our community is huge. People say they've never seen such a loyal and engaged audience. Like, well, for example, Instagram stories, very popular. I often like to ask a poll, right? And just collect the data and get some feedback on what are people interested in, what's hitting home, what's striking a chord, and so forth. And if you don't have a big community yet because you're just getting started, I would just try some things, throw some spaghetti at the wall, see what sticks, right? Yeah. It doesn't sound like the most organized thing, but how are you supposed to know if you don't try? And everyone's looking for clarity these days. Oh, I'm going to start when I get clarity. In my opinion, this might sound controversial, clarity follows action. You have to get your hands dirty. You have to try a couple things, and then you begin to realize what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, I love that. Do you think?
I love you.
I appreciate that. Do you think that online business is just getting started? Do you see it continuing to be strong and continuing to evolve?
Two things. Number one, is the online space saturated? Sure it is. But as I like to say, there's always room for the best in any field, no matter what you're doing. If you're willing to work on it and beat on your craft, and you're not just interested, but you're committed, there will be a place for you at the table, so to speak. And in regards to more specifically to answer your question, look, we just got on TikTok, right? And I thought I was late to the game to start a podcast. Now the podcast is one of the biggest things that we do. It just gave us a huge book deal with Wiley Publishing and so forth. So it's never too late. And it's, look, the bottom line is, like, for example, the TikTok we just got on. My thought process is this. It's a pretty much a younger audience, right? But let's just say there's 15 or 20 year olds that are on there and they start following the brand, seeing the inspirational stuff. Well, my thought process is those 15 and 20 year olds can now grow with us for the next 40, 50 years, right? The online space isn't going anywhere. There's only going to be new platforms. There's Instagram, there's Facebook, there's TikTok now, obviously LinkedIn. So there's going to be something else too. So I would take advantage. There's never been a better time to make connections and to grow a business and utilize marketing like there is in social media.
I know you're a guy who's super enthusiastic. And I think there's a difference between what I would call passion and obsession. Obsession is unhealthy. Passion is healthy. And so we've got an audience here that's serious and getting after it. You're an entrepreneur. It's an online business. You got a lot of things going on as a result of that now, books and speaking and everything else. What do you do to make sure that you are pouring back into yourself? Because I don't think you can give what you don't have. So I want you to coach us up. I know you're into physical fitness. You keep slugging something healthy there in front of us. What would you tell people? Give us something really practical to make sure that they're not going too hard and not filling themselves back up.
This is an awesome topic. And I think we dove in on this on my podcast when you were a guest. Look, in terms of burnout, I personally believe if you're burnt out, you're not in alignment with really
100%. I agree.
right? Because I don't know about you, but I have a feeling like we can do this all day, right? Like we could talk about this. These are my dinner conversations. I love this right. stuff. This will work to me.
Right.
And I know that because I spent 35 years trying to find this and I used right. to be miserable for lack of better words. So if you're really doing what you love, first of all, you can absolutely create a hybrid of making a massive impact and making a lucrative living. And when you do that, I don't think you can get burnt out. The other thing I'll say is this. Let's just say you do find what set your soul on fire and maybe you're working just a little too much.
That's right.
You have to take some time, give yourself some grace, right? You have to rest, whatever that looks like to you. Maybe you go see a movie, maybe you take a trip, maybe you go by the water, whatever the case may be, get a workout and clear your head. Whatever it is that you got to do, because as Ken so beautifully articulated, you can't give what you don't have. So you got to make sure that you nourish yourself and fill your cup, because isn't it like the airplane? They tell you to put your oxygen mask on first before your kids. There's a reason for that, right? Because you can't put on an oxygen mask on anyone else if you're unconscious. So you have to work on yourself and make that a priority. It's not selfish.
Yeah. Well, Craig, one of the things I love to ask guests when I have them on is if you could have lunch with everybody watching and listening to this show, and you only shared one thing with them that they walked away with, what would you want them to know?
Reinvention is ready when you are. And let me just be very clear. It doesn't have to be a career pivot. It's an identity upgrade. If you're not 100% satisfied with where you are, maybe you thought you'd be in a different place at this point in time in your life, forgive yourself, let that go, and then surrender the old skin. Shed those old identities, those stories in your head, the ego that's telling you that you're not meant to play big, that the world isn't yours for the taking. And I mean that in a great way to make an impact and to contribute. You are absolutely meant for great things. And reinvention is absolutely ready once you believe it. And again, the most important sale you ever make is to yourself, to sell yourself that you're worthy, and then be committed to the process. And you can change not just something, but everything in a very short amount of time.
You know, I love that Craig went to the direction of reinvention. That's Craig Siegel, my friend, former Wall Street hotshot, now doing a lot of personal growth work in similar spaces I am, CLS Experiences, his podcast. But one of the things I love about that is when you open that question up to people like him who are go-getters, I love that he chose the word reinvention. And I was thinking about it when he first mentioned it. And as I listened to it again, you know, reinvention doesn't mean that it's necessarily a complete overhaul of what we teach on the show, which is talent, passion, mission. I do think that the passion can change, and I think you might be able to add some talents. But even with reinvention, and I think reinvention is a wonderful thing, we ought to think, okay, what does it look like? I feel like I've met some challenges, I've done some things I love, and I still want to be on purpose. I want to use what I do best to do work I love to produce results that matter to me. But we can reinvent ourselves in a completely, you know, unique and different field. However, we're still going to be using what we do best to do work we love, to produce, I can't talk all of a sudden, results that matter to me. It's still, if you're on purpose, that's still the formula, even if you reinvent yourself. And I bring that up because so many people hear me talk about purpose and dream job and they think it's just one thing. It's not just one thing. It's not. And so I know men and women who have been in one field and were crushing it on purpose, and they got a new vision and they completely reinvented themselves. But what was still true, they were using what they do best to do what they love to produce results that matter to them. Hey, remember this, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.